Losing a family member, particularly a breadwinner, is a big blow to any family. The loss is compounded further when the deceased has not ensured that in the event of their passing, their family's discomfort is eased by way of proactive behaviour which seeks to ensure some financial security. Upon the death of someone who has assets, the person's estate needs to be wound up, and there are all sorts of associated costs with this, and of course the family will be one significant income down. There are serious issues that need to be uppermost in the mind of breadwinners in particular. To take us through some of the issues, I'm joined on the line by Alex Simeonidis. He's the CEO of Capital Legacy. Thanks very much, Alex, for joining us on the show. Death is hectic, the pain of losing a loved one and so on. But at that very moment, issues around finances need to be considered immediately because one needs to worry about funeral arrangements and beyond that, right?
That's correct. But there's a lurking surprise that happens shortly after that. And that's also the fees.
So apart from how you go about giving your loved one a decent funeral, what are some of the other immediate costs that will hit a family in the event of death?
Well, we've experienced the most immediate need comes from the regular monthly payments that need to happen. If I pass away, I was the one that was paying the medical aid, the school fees, the car insurance. And when I'm gone, who's paying those expenses? Mm. So once you've settled the funeral costs, you need to keep the lights on. So those are the next round of expenses that fall due.
So the longer term funds are tied up in an estate, and the winding up of an estate, I understand, can take an inconveniently long time. Just tell us about that.
Well, the process requires that there's a whole set of laws that you need to comply with. Those tend to draw out the duration of the estate. But typically, you're looking at about 6 to 9 months. 6 months if you don't have a property that needs to be transferred, 9 months if there is a property that needs to be transferred. But I'm generalizing here, Nampula. Hmm. It could take one small thing to delay a stay.
Absolutely.
The biggest thing that's going to cause a delay is not having enough money to pay the executive fees, the transfer fees. Those are the things that really hold up an estate.
And what happens practically around that issue? Do the people waiting on those fees, do they wait for the settlement of the estate, or are they expecting somebody within the family to come with money out of pocket to sort them out before the conclusion of the estate?
So there's a technical answer. The technical answer is that you can't conclude an estate until all creditors have been paid. The creditor is, for example, the executor. So there is this expectation that you need to, there is this need that you need to pay those fees before we can, inverted commas, conclude the estate. Hmm. But different institutions work with different degrees of heart. When we've been caught in that situation with a family, we've let them sort of pay us off, even though we've closed the estate, because we can't bear ourselves to have to sell the house to realize the fees.
Just tell us about the associated costs of winding up an estate. You know, there's capital gains tax. You know, there's all the fees that you have to pay. Just itemize them for us and the order of priority, if there's any.
Sure. So capital gains tax, estate duty, these are taxes. They're wealth taxes. So they'll be associated, obviously, with those who are a little bit better than the average South African. The ones that will afflict all South Africans are firstly your executive fee. That's the fee you pay the person to administer the estate. For every million rand, it's 35,000 rand before that. Huh. If you've got a property, then you've got to transfer that title. That requires a conveyance attorney. That is anything from 12 to 25,000 rand for an average property size.
Just to change your name.
Just to change the title. You bought the house, you've got to transfer the title. And then hopefully, because people don't do this, you've created a trust for your kids' inheritance. If you don't, It's a bit of a stalemate, because if you don't, the money's going to go to the government's guardian fund. So the alternative is you need to create this trust. Those trustees also charge a fee every year. If you're keeping that trust for 20 years, you can imagine it could run into the hundreds of thousands of rand. Mm. So much so that there won't be anything left for when the trust matures.
How important is it for somebody to have a will?
Let me answer to you in this way. Mm. When we bring in estates where people have died without a will, we bring in estates where people have died with a will. If those people who have died without a will, we see the same common things. The money that's due to the kids is going to the government's guardian fund. There's a lack of direction. No one knows who the executor should be. Hmm. There's often family feuds associated with not having the will done. And then the worst thing that happens is you have this situation where, no, but my dad wanted this. And unfortunately, when you die without a will, the interstate laws or the laws of our country will say where assets need to go.
Yes.
And chances are that wasn't what the person wished for.
Absolutely. So given the uncertainty associated with the length of winding up an estate, and also, like you said, all those expenses that will accrue once perhaps a key breadwinner dies, you know, paying gym fees, paying mortgage, etc., etc., how important is it for people to take out life insurance?
So we are a derivative of life insurance. What we propose is that you don't necessarily use life insurance to take care of these fees. And I'll tell you why. We go into an estate meeting and life cover is paying out to the widow. The practical reality of asking that widow then to part with a few hundred thousand of the life cover that she just received is it's a terrible reality. You don't want to do that.
Hmm.
What we propose is you use what we call indemnified fees. So you take a little policy now, it feels like a life insurance, and that indemnifies you against all those costs while we take care of the services. So we don't have to ask you, because you never hear a widow say, oh, I've got too much life cover.
Yes. And then lastly, the distinction between funeral cover and life cover. A lot of people prefer to get funeral cover because they say, I don't want to burden my family. But then, of course, you know, it's a once-off thing. You're buried and the expenses are taken care of, but your family still has to live on beyond that.
It's a national obsession, funeral cover. And it's filled its part because people take several funeral covers out and that ties them over for a bit. But the reality is, and this is not related to my company and it's still one of my drives, is that you can take life insurance, you can take many, many multiples of what you get in funeral cover for the same rand in life cover that you do in funeral cover. So, for example, for 200 rand, you can get 50,000 funeral cover, but you can get 1 million or 1.5 million life cover. And it's about education and it's about the access of the South African to sophisticated financial products. And that's a problem in our industry.
Yes. So what's the solution then? Is it about a lack of financial education or what?
It's the roaring debate of our institution. It's about getting people access to financial advisors, to institutions who can offer and advise on these sophisticated financial products, for people who can go and draft your will with you and help you look at the real cost of dying. It's about filling that gap that exists between what you know and what the industry has available. We haven't done a good enough job. I don't have necessarily the straight line answer.
Yes.
It's going to require investment. So the unfortunate reality is the financial advisor, the typical financial advisor, doesn't earn enough of that individual relationship. How do we fill that void?
That was Alex Simeonidis. He's the CEO of Capital Legacy.